Reading today from Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We begin to read at verse number 1. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my voice. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen. King David was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. His life was full of struggle and also victory. And his life was full of singing. Singing to the Lord is worship. Praising God in song should be an important part of our lives. As Christians, we should be singers. We may not all be good singers, but we should all be singers unto the Lord. And our songs are not just words and music. Our singing should have meaning. And if you want to know what should be in the songs that we sing to God, then read the Psalms. The book of Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. The Psalms are also prayers, but they are prayers that were written to be sung by the people. When we read the Psalms, we read praise for God's greatness and power. We read thanksgiving for God's kindness to his people. We read descriptions of God's salvation, and we read requests for God's help. The Bible says that we should sing psalms, and we should also sing hymns and spiritual songs. We read of this in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Our singing must have meaning. Our singing must contain a message for our hearts that is from the word of God. Singing in church is not entertainment. Singing is worship. And it should come from the heart. Many of the Psalms record times of sadness and pain. They remind us that singing is not only for times of joy, but also for times of grief. Singing expresses struggle as well as happiness. Singing should come from our hearts, and very often our hearts feel burdened. Psalm 61 is such a song. The title of this psalm indicates that the words are to be put to music and sung. It is a song of prayer, and like many of the psalms, it is a song in trouble. We like to think about this psalm, David's song in trouble. David's song in trouble. And as we think about David's song in this psalm, we can notice first of all his cry. His cry, verse 1, he says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. In verse 1, David cries for God to hear him. And he says in verse 2 that his cry in this song, his prayer, will come to God from the end of the earth. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And as we think about this cry, then we can notice its place. Its place, David says, he will cry unto God from the end of the earth. Singing and praying are not limited to a particular place. David recorded this song at a time in his life when he was forced to be far away from his home. We do not know exactly which part of David's life this psalm refers to, but we know that David had to leave home and be away from home at different times. It happened to David as a young man when he had to leave home and go and minister to King Saul in the palace, and then later he went from place to place escaping from King Saul. It happened later in his life when he was king. He had to lead his army to parts of the land far away from Jerusalem to fight the Lord's enemies. It happened when David was betrayed by his own son Absalom, who chased him from his palace and tried to steal his father's throne. David knew what it was to cry to God in his songs when he was in lonely, isolated places. It doesn't matter where you are, you can still cry to God. It doesn't matter if you are alone or with many people. It doesn't matter if you are at home or in some distant place far away. We can still sing from the heart. We can still pray to God in any place. As the psalmist says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. We have the place of this cry. We also have its time. Its time. David tells us in verse 2 that he cried unto the Lord when his heart was overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. His heart was so full of trouble that his spirit was sinking. David's troubles fill his life like a great flood of water that sweeps over everything. And David experienced in the course of his life the full range of troubles. He experienced national problems when he ruled as king. He experienced problems in personal relationships as Saul, who he had served faithfully, turned against him. He experienced family problems, problems in his marriage, criticism from his brothers, poor behaviour from his children, the manipulation of his uncle, the need to care for his parents. He experienced problems in his own heart as he battled with his own weakness and sin. At times his heart was overwhelmed, and at those times he cried to God, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And your heart may be overwhelmed today by suffering or by despair. And this is the very time to cry to God. When you feel most weak, it is the very time even to sing to him and to call for his help and to cry for his strength in your time of need. As we think of David's cry in this song, we have the place of it and its time. We also have its purpose. David cried with a purpose in his heart. Verse 2 tells us, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It was a request to be led to the Saviour. David was overwhelmed by his difficulties, but he knew that there was one greater than him who could lift him up. The Lord Jesus Christ is described in Scripture as the great rock. We read of this in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And the land shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great rock. Because he cannot be moved, because he never changes, because his power is great, because his love is strong, when we are lifted up into Christ, then we rise above the burdens that would otherwise overwhelm us. Standing on the rock, we see our troubles far beneath us under the Saviour's mighty power. And in our troubles and at all times, our songs and our prayers should be of him. Our desire in singing and in prayer should be to be led to him. We should desire to find him and to know more of his love for us. Our songs and our prayers should cry out to be led to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is higher, so much higher than us, the one who is higher than the heavens, the one who is the rock of our salvation, our great God and our only Saviour. How we should cry to be led to him. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so in David's song, in trouble, we have his cry. But secondly, we have his covering. His covering. In verses 3 and 4, David speaks of his covering, the place of refuge that he has in his trouble. He says, verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy." And this covering that David has is the Lord himself. And David describes the covering that the Lord is to him in different ways in these verses. And so as we think about his covering, we have its description. Its description in verse 3, he says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me." He gives us this description of the Lord as a shelter. A shelter gives us a picture of a place that shields you from the weather, from the rain and the wind and the storm. And David is able to say that the Lord has been that shelter to him. The Lord has been to him a covering from the storms and trials of his life. The Lord is not only a shelter in a general sense, but a personal shelter for him. He says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me." The Lord has sheltered David from his own very personal and unique troubles. He also gives us another description of the Lord in verse 3. He says that he's being a strong tower from the enemy. A strong tower from the enemy. This is a military description. A tower in David's time, typically a tall building made out of stone used by people to escape the attacks of an invading army. David says when the enemy came against him to destroy his hope, to take away his life, that the Lord was his tower. The Lord is a strong tower. A tower that cannot be broken down. A tower that provides safety from the attacks of the enemy. The Lord is to his people a place of safety. A place of safety from the devil. Safety from the evil of this world. We are safe in Christ our Saviour, the one who is a strong tower. Verse 4, David says, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings." This is another description of the Lord as his covering, and it is a description of the Lord describing us as his people sheltering under his wings. A mother hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and under her wings the chickens are safe from the weather, safe from predators that would otherwise attack them. And the Bible speaks of the wings of God in a spiritual sense. The Lord gathers his people under his wings, speaks of his love and care and provision as a father for his children. Under the Lord's protection and power, we are safe from all possible dangers. Under his wings, nothing can harm us, not even the attacks of the devil himself. And what amazing descriptions these are of the covering that the Lord is for his people. May we hide ourselves in the Lord. May we hide ourselves in this great covering that we have in Christ our Saviour. As we think about David's covering, we have its description, but we have also in these verses its duration. Its duration. Verse 4, David speaks of how long he will enjoy this covering of the Lord's mercy. Verse 4, he says, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." In Old Testament Israel, the tabernacle was that large tent in which the worship of God took place. It was later replaced by the permanent building of the temple. And the tabernacle was the house of God. It represented God's presence and mercy. It revealed the way to God through the sacrifices of blood. And David said he would abide in God's tabernacle forever. He did not mean that he would always live in the physical tabernacle, but He spoke of his desire to worship God and to always be in the presence of God. He knew that through all his life he would be with the Lord. He would never be separated from the presence of God because he was a child of God. And those who are saved, we are always, spiritually speaking, in the house of God. In the New Testament, the house of God is the church, and the church is a spiritual house that is made up of all of those who are saved. And those who are saved, we abide forever, for all of our lives in the house of God, part of the family of God, members of the true church of Christ. And because we have been saved by the blood of Christ, our Saviour, we are part of that house of God, and we will never be removed from it. When our lives on this earth are finished, the saved enter the house of God above, the tabernacle not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. So God's children abide in the house of God forever. I wonder, can you say with David today, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. David adds the word Zelah at the end of verse 4. It is a pause to reflect on the meaning of what has been already said, his cry to God from wherever he is in his trouble. And then these glorious descriptions of God as his covering. And if you're not saved, this covering that David speaks of is what you need. A covering from the evil of this world. A covering that shelters you from destruction and from fear. A covering that shows that you have been saved from your sin and brought into the family of God. How you need that covering, that shelter, that place of safety. Without it you are alone. Without God, without Christ, without hope in this world, and without hope for eternity. And how, as we think about God as the great covering of his people, how we know and are reminded that he alone is the Saviour. And that only through Christ and through his blood shed on the cross for sinners is there forgiveness and hope and peace in this world. And if you're not saved today, then you need to run to that shelter, repent of sin, give all to Christ, surrender all to him, trust him, and enter into the family of God, into the house of God, where you will abide forever. And so as we think of David's song in trouble, we have his cry, we also have his covering, and then in the third place he speaks about his confidence. His confidence in verse 5, he says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. David has confidence that God has heard. He's confident that God has heard, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. He knows with certainty that God has heard his prayers, these prayers that come in singing. And this is something that we should praise God for. God has promised that he will hear the prayers of his people in whatever form we pray to him. And in particular, he will hear our prayers when we are in trouble. David identifies that the Lord has heard his vows. Vows are promises of the strongest kind. And in prayer, when he was in trouble, David presented his request to the Lord, and he also made promises to the Lord. And God hears our requests in prayer, and he also hears our vows to him. And we must keep the vows that we make to God. Those promises that we make to God to love him, to serve him and to obey him, they are important in God's sight, and he hears them and he remembers them. And in trouble, we may make specific promises to God. We may say to God in our trouble, if you save me from this calamity, I will do a certain thing for you. We must not fail to keep those promises. Remember how Hannah prayed to the Lord for a son, and she said that if God heard her prayer, she would give that son to serve the Lord all the days of his life. God answered her prayer. God kept his promise and his goodness and kindness to Hannah, and how she kept her promise to the Lord. She knew that the Lord, who graciously heard her request, also heard her promise and her vow to him. In Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, the Lord links us keeping our promises to him with him answering our prayers in trouble. Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We're told that we are to praise the Lord, to give thanks to him, and we are to keep our promises, to pay our vows to God, and then call upon him in trouble, and he will hear and answer us. How can we expect the Lord to answer our prayers when we are in trouble? If we have prayed before, the Lord has kept his promises to us, but we have not kept the promises that we have made to him. The Lord says, keep your promises to me, and then call upon me in trouble. May we have this confidence that the Lord hears us. He hears our cries in trouble. May we also remember that he hears our promises to him, as well as our requests, and may we continue to cry to him, and may we keep the promises that we have made to him. David has this confidence that God has heard, but he also has confidence that God has given. God has given. Verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. He says that the Lord has given to him the heritage of those who fear the name of the Lord. The Lord gives to his people a great and a glorious inheritance. It is described in different ways in the Bible. It is primarily a spiritual inheritance. It is an inheritance that we receive only part of in this life. The main part of our inheritance is kept for us in heaven. The Lord Jesus speaks of this heritage in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verses 32 to 34. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, the Lord Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 33, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord says, do not be afraid. Your heavenly Father is pleased to give you a great inheritance, a kingdom. He says, don't be coveting the things of this life, because your inheritance is in glory. You have a treasure in heaven, treasure that the thief cannot steal, treasure that cannot be corrupted. And as we serve the Lord with a true heart by the grace of God, that inheritance that awaits us in glory is ever increasing. God has given this heritage to those who fear him. It is only for those who are saved. It's only for those who fear God's judgment against their sin, those who have repented of sin, those who have sought mercy through the blood of Christ. It is an inheritance for those who love the Lord and worship him and follow him with fear for his holiness and love for his commandments. And as those who are saved, we can have great confidence today. God has given to us a great and a glorious inheritance. And so let us trust him. Let us live for him, the one who has given all of this to us. And in our troubles and in our losses, we can still sing of the one who has given to us an glorious inheritance in heaven. So in David's song in trouble, we have his cry, we have his covering, we have his confidence, and then at the end he comes to his conclusion. He comes to his conclusion in the final verses of this psalm. And in his conclusion, he speaks of his preservation. His preservation, how the Lord has preserved him. Verse 6, he says, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He says that God will prolong his life. It means Literally, they will add days to the days of his life. The Lord gave to David a long life. He lived to be 70 years old. He was king for 40 years. The Lord kept him safe during that long time. In verse 7, David requests that the Lord will continue to preserve him by mercy and truth. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. It is only by the mercy of God that we continue in this life. Only his truth can guide us in an evil world, preserve us from the devil and from being destroyed. And may we pray to the Lord to continue to send his mercy and his truth to keep us from evil and harm every day of our lives. But David was also looking beyond this present life. He says that the Lord will prolong his years of many generations in verse 6. In verse 7 he says he shall abide before God forever. He speaks of being preserved eternally. This is his song when he is in trouble, that God will preserve him by his mercy and truth in this life. And then when God determines that his life on earth is over, then he will be preserved forever with the Lord in glory. And in our troubles we can sing, because the Lord preserves us. The evil that is intended against us, God will turn to our good. And God will preserve us from all harm and danger until the day that he calls us home to glory. And then we will be forever preserved, forever with him in heaven. And so David, he concludes by speaking of God's preservation of him. But he also, in his conclusion, speaks of his own performance. He says that he will never stop singing. In verse 8, he says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Every day should be a day of praise. David said that he would sing praise forever. Every day should be a day of praise for us. And then one day in heaven, we will praise God forever. And at all stages in our lives, whether in prosperity or in adversity, we should praise the Lord's great name, for he is worthy. May our hearts think on him. Think of what he has done for us, how he preserves us, how he has given great promises to us. And so may we always sing and pray from the heart to him. David says that every day should be a day of singing, that I may daily perform my vows. This is something that he had promised to do, to give praise to the Lord. He says that every day he must keep that promise. And every day should be a day of praise from our hearts. And every day we should keep our promises to him. David comes back again, his conclusion to this thought of keeping his promises to God. We have made promises to the Lord, and those promises must be kept. And when we enter times of trouble and difficulty, it does not mean that our promises to God have been suspended. And as we think about him and his greatness and his glory and his goodness and his truth and all that he has done for us and all that he has promised to us, how then we should desire and earnestly seek day by day to keep our promises to him. And let us sing. And in our praise, may we think of what we've promised to him. May we daily perform our vows to him, and may we daily trust in him, the one who is our shelter and our covering, our strong tower, the one who preserves us from evil, the one who is our refuge and strength. And may we cry in prayer and in song day by day that we would be led to him, to the one, our great rock, who is higher than us, that we would find strength and comfort in his great name. Amen. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.